Proverbs chapter 8. Okay, Proverbs chapter 8, reading from verse 18. We're going to look at verses 18 briefly here this evening, from verse 18 through 21. Next week we'll keep verses 22 through about verse 31 together. Next week we'll be looking at the fact that wisdom was there at the time of creation. And that ought to really make us think about this, the reasons to heed to the wisdom of God. Wisdom of God has been around as long as the Lord's been around. So we'll be looking again at that associated with creation next week. Verse 18 tonight, we want to title this one, Just True Riches and Honor. Last week we were in verse 17, and we titled that, I Love Them That Love Me. Tonight, riches, true riches and honor. He says in verse 18, beginning here, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Father, we thank You tonight again for the opportunity to be able to assemble together. And Father, we ask again tonight for Thy blessings, Thy anointing upon the reading of Holy Scripture. Father, speak to us. Lord, help us to believe Your Word and be obedient to Your Word. Father, we thank You for the truth that You've given to us. And we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. This is our sixth sermon in this chapter. And again, wisdom is speaking here. And we are considering again the things that are important to the Lord, the things that have lasting value. And these are the things we must pray about for this wisdom. For ourselves, for our children, our grandchildren, those that are around us. Notice to begin with, he starts off here in verse 18, and he says, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Now, I believe the focus of our text is upon spiritual things, but we do know that God gives us physical things. He gives us physical material riches, and He gives them to us that we have food and clothing and the things of this life that we need. And so that's included here in our text. But when we read this, we see that He's mainly focusing in on, even when He uses the words inherit substance, I believe that, yes, that can do with material things, but it carries it much beyond that in verse 21 into the eternal things of the kingdom of God. Now, riches and honor are with me. Again, God gives both material riches and He also gives us spiritual riches and blessings. So riches and honor are with me. But notice He said, yea, durable riches and righteousness, that the durable riches, in other words, the things that never fail, the enduring riches and righteousness that last even into eternity, I believe is the focus here. Notice with me as we back up to chapter 3. In chapter 3, in verse 16, we have these words, and when he talks about riches and honor, he says in verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Again, from verse 13 down to about verse 20 is speaking of wisdom. Verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Verse 14, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. Notice with me as we come to chapter 4. In chapter 4, reading in verse 7 and 8. He says here, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. So we talk about riches and honor, that which is durable, that which lasts. Now I want to back up to a passage we looked at actually several months back. Notice with me in 1 Kings, in 1 Kings in chapter 3, when we first started this book, I read from this chapter. But notice as we come back here to remind us, in 1 Kings in chapter 3, if you're taking notes tonight, James 2 and verse 5 tells us that the poor who are Christians, that who love the Lord, they may be poor, but they're rich in faith and also heirs of the kingdom of God. And a passage that we're all very familiar with is Matthew chapter 6. And Matthew 6 is not teaching that having things is wrong, but it's teaching that we have a perspective. He begins in verse 19, and I'm not asking you to turn there. I'm just giving you the passage. Yeah. He says in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And again, there's physical things in this passage from verse 19 down to verse 34. He talks about food and clothing and things of that nature, which are needed and God supplies them. But he's just telling us, let the emphasis be upon spiritual inheritances. And he goes on to say in verse 24, "No man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And again, he summarizes this from verse 25 through verse 33. And he mentions, again, food and raiment and things of that nature. And then in verse 32, he says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." In other words, the things that we need in life. That this is what most people, that's all they live for. And but he said, "After all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." So God's going to give us these things as we work for them. But the emphasis is upon God and His Word and eternal things that are durable. He says in verse 33, most of you can quote this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Now listen, "and all these things shall be added unto you." In other words, food, drink, clothing that are mentioned in the passage. And it's keeping that balance. I was talking to a brother recently, and he was telling me that one of the hardest things is keeping that balance, you know, between the physical and the spiritual. And we have to have physical things and to live, but we need to keep our minds upon heavenly things, eternal things, because those are the things that are durable. Now notice as we come to 1 Kings, and I'm reading, first of all, I want to come down and read in chapter 3, let me find my verse 16. And, well, it's not verse 16. Let's back up and let's come to verse 12 and 13. How many remember Solomon's first prayer when the Lord revealed Himself to him? That prayer begins in verse 5. The Lord revealed Himself to Solomon after his father had died. He had become a king. And the Lord came and asked him, you know, what he needs. The Lord's going to bless him. And we know that he never asked for material things. He asked for spiritual things, beginning along about verse 7 and 8. And he knew that he was going to lead a large nation, a large congregation. And he asked for discernment in verse 9, that he would know that he could discern between good and bad. And this pleased the Lord so much. And here's what we find. Let me just back up. I'll read verse, beginning in verse 11. Verse 10 says, "The speech pleased the Lord." Verse 11, "And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." Now, verse 13, he says, "And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor." Hear these two words again. "Both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all of thy days." Then he tells him in the next two verses, he says, "And if thou walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments," in other words, as his father David, he's saying, these blessings will continue. Well, notice with me also in the book of Revelation in chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, we're talking about durable riches and righteousness. Durable riches and righteousness. Now, in Revelation chapter 3, you're familiar with this as well, the Laodicean church. And I'm just going to pick a reading up along about verse 16. And he says here in verse 16, he says, "So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." In other words, they're in need of righteousness and truth. And he goes on to say in verse 18, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich," that is, spiritually speaking, "and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed," there's the righteousness, "and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." In other words, we see here again the riches and the righteousness, in spiritually speaking, in verse 18. They boasted about having everything they needed and beyond what they needed, but the Lord said, "You're spiritually destitute." And so that's our focus tonight, is spiritual riches and righteousness. Notice as we turn to Ephesians, well, let's go to Revelation 2 before we turn there. If you're just taking notes, Ephesians 3:8 also speaks of these riches in a spiritual context. Also in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 speaks of godliness. And it says, "Godliness is profitable in all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come." So godliness, when we walk in godliness, He will provide our needs, but we're also preparing ourselves for eternity as we do that. And that's the balance we've got to find in life. And human beings, out of all of God's creation, they find it the hardest of all of His creatures to have a balance in life. Notice in Revelation chapter 2. And by the way, there's the warning in 1 Timothy. I'll give you this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And the latter part, most of the chapter is dealing with this thought. But the latter part of it, in verse 17, 18, and 19, he says, now here's the balance with riches. He said, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He even gives us their sunshine and their food and their water to drink and much beyond that." In verse 18, he said that they do good, that they be rich. Now listen to this, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Now, verse 19, he says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. That balance, that warning to all of us, whether poor or in between or rich, but here in this case, warning the rich, because it's very easy to get our eyes upon these things that we have and put our faith in that and trust, and these things can disappear quite easily. Well, in Revelation chapter 2, the church at Smyrna, he said this to them. I'm going to read in verse 8 and 9. He says, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. So here we find a church opposite of Laodicea. Laodicea was rich materially, and they were destitute spiritually. This church is in poverty, and he says that you are rich. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they're Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. I don't need to read any farther. We see their suffering in verse 10 and verse 11 and the promises of eternal things that God has given to them. Well, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 before we go back to Proverbs. Philippians chapter 3, and notice with me verses 8 through 10. Now, our text in Proverbs in verse 18 talks of riches and honor, durable riches and righteousness. So notice here we see the issue of the importance of righteousness. And by the way, in the Bible, you have the righteous and the unrighteous, the just and the unjust. A good example of this is in Genesis 18, verses 23 through 25. And this is the story where Abraham petitions the Lord in prayer about Lot. In Sodom, you had the righteous and the unrighteous. And so there's that contrast between the two. But notice here, the Apostle Paul's desire as a Christian. A lot of people think, well, I get saved and that's it. I can just coast the rest of the way. That's not what the Bible teaches us. Notice the Apostle Paul and his desire. I'm reading from verse 8. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, verse 10, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. That was the Apostle's heart and desire every day that he lived, to be more conformable unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should be our desire as well. Now let's go back to the book of Proverbs and notice the next verse, Proverbs chapter 8. And notice now as we come to verse 19. He says, now again, wisdom is speaking. There are those that teach that Proverbs 8 is Christ. This is about Christ. Well, it's about wisdom. And of course, we know that all wisdom comes from Christ. But people actually, some commentators actually say that, no, it's talking about Christ Himself. Well, ultimately it is. But we find here wisdom that comes from God the Father, comes from the Holy Spirit and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says this here. He says, my fruit is better than gold. So we know that he is talking about spiritual things. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, my revenue than choice gold. And we've got an entire sermon on this. I just gave you chapter 3. If you want to just jot that down from verse 13 through verse 20. Again, saying that the merchandise of it, that is wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Verse 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Boy, if we really believe that. And here in our chapter, we spent time on this a few weeks ago. Notice verse 10 and verse 11. It says, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." Got to get a grip on that and really believe this and what God has said. And when he talks about here the revenue and the fruit is an allusion to that which would grow on a tree. And as a matter of fact, in chapter 3, wisdom is actually called a tree of life in chapter 3 and verse 18. So we find the importance here of wisdom, the revenue and the fruit of that, the gain, the profit that we get from it. And we know what it means when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. There are those nine words beginning with love, peace and joy. And so we know that the Spirit produces those things in us. The Spirit produces a true biblical love and a joy and a peace. And the same is true here with wisdom. Wisdom produces some things in us. And so we see here the fruit of that. In other words, there's no side effect with the wisdom from heaven and God's blessings. There's no side effects. Now notice as we come to verse 20, we've actually covered this subject to some extent also in our text, especially in chapter 3. He says in verse 20, he said, "I lead in the way of righteousness." See, we keep coming back to this principle of, it doesn't exclude physical things, but the emphasis upon spiritual things. He says, "I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment." In the midst of the path of judgment, wisdom always acts according to the rules of justice. Always doing what is right. Never compromising in any way. But notice this wisdom. This is why we should desire it with all of our heart. This wisdom, it says here, "I lead in all of the ways of righteousness." Very familiar passage, chapter 3. We'll be a little repetitious at times, but listen to this in chapter 3. Most of you can quote this. Chapter 3 and verse 6, after saying in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not unto our own understanding." In verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." This is the promise that we have. We have the ability by God's Word and the indwelling Spirit and prayer to walk in His will perfectly. Do we do that? Many times we do not, but we have all the tools. We have everything we need. We have the Word before us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the privilege of coming before the throne of God in prayer. And I'll give you a few other references. Chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. If you just want to write a few of these down. Again, we've covered some of these already. Chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Again, "Wisdom, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths." Verse 12, "When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." When he says, "thy steps shall not be straightened," they shall not be made narrow. In other words, wisdom will allow the wise man or the wise woman a number of places to go that would be closed to an ignorant man or one that, you know, denies the Scriptures and will not believe them. So again, in chapter 6, in verse 22, we've already covered this as well. And he said, "When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee." Again, that's the wisdom of God. We have that promise. And when we get in the flesh and we make decisions and whatever it is in life, we can blame no one but ourselves, because God's given us He's equipped us with everything that we need. The problem is we usually don't pray about it. Here's a few other passages if you want to write them down. I love these, and I actually have several sermons. I can't remember all the titles of them, but beginning with God's will and an article on God's will. But I've got several. I think one title, "He Leadeth Us," and I think I've got at least probably 7 to 10 different sermons just on this subject right here and following the will of God. But chapter 23 of Psalms in verse 3, you can write that down. It says, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Chapter 25, verse 4 and 5. Chapter 32 in verse 8 of Psalms, and also Psalms 37, verses 23 through 25. There's many more. I mean, Psalms 119, verse 33, Psalms 143 in verse 8, and you could just keep going. God has promised in His Word that He will direct us and guide us every step that we take if we will be obedient to Him. Well, notice here again, in reading in verse 20 one more time, in verse 20, he says, "And I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment." Again, wisdom will always make the right decision, always lead us in the right places. Then in verse 21, he says, "That I may cause those that love me," remember verse 17, "I love them that love me." He said, "That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures." Yes, this can involve material things, but in our context, it brings us much farther than and carries us into the eternal aspect of things. Here's a few other verses as we bring this to a close. 1 Peter 1:4. "When I see this inheriting substance and I will feel thy treasures," I think of God's kingdom. I think of His church. I think of eternal life, rewards that He's promised to us, and I think of our inheritance. And that's what I just gave you. We have inheritance reserved in heaven that's uncorruptible. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34, the saints of God in the first century were willing to have their goods spoiled because of what they knew that God had promised them. It says, "For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully." I actually underlined this middle part and highlighted it. So anytime I turn to Hebrews chapter 10, this jumps out and reminds me, so I don't get my mind fixed on other things. Let me read it again. "For you have had compassion on me in my bonds." A prisoner writing this. And he says, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. They took joyfully. In other words, they were willing to suffer for Christ, even lose in the financial sector and material things. And then he says, here's the reason they've done that. It says, "Knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance." Why do we think we're different than first century Christians? Made out of the same stuff. God's put His same Holy Spirit in us, given us the same Word of God. Sometimes we think we think, well, we're just not living that time. Just 2,000 years. Just 2,000 years. They were people of God, and they go through the same things that we go through, and in many cases, much more than we have went through here in America. And you also write down Romans 8, verse 16 through 18. Again, inheriting substance. The word substance here means something solid or weighty. Something real and something eternal. And you can also write down one other thing. Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. If you read that closely, read it very closely, you'll see that there's the sheep and the goats, and the goats are invited into the kingdom of Christ. First, because of their faith in Christ, but also they lived out that faith. And he shows you why. So he says, ye shall inherit the kingdom. So that's what I see when I read verse 21. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy Word, Thy truth, Thy promises. Lord, the many promises, not only of eternal life, but eternal rewards, eternal substance. Father, we thank You for being our God and our Savior. And Lord, we come here this evening and we just ask tonight Your blessings upon the remainder of this service. Lord, all the prayer requests that will be lifted up, we pray, Lord, that You'll hear our prayers this evening. We thank You for that privilege. We pray Thy will to be done with the hymns that we sing. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.